this is what it is, okay? I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now, you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now, water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
The barnyard is busy in a regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season. Ma Nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle. Spring, spring, spring.
All the hen folk are hatching while their men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival. Each nest is twittering, they're all babysittering. Spring, spring, spring.
Why, it's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in view.
Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too.
Little skylarks are larking, see them all double parking.
Cuddled up or playing possum, they're behind every blossom.
Even the bobolink
is merrily wobbling.
Spring, spring, spring.
Ah, the wonderful sounds of spring. Also known as, perhaps, the soundtrack of spring, as sung by your uncle, Bing Crosby, and Fred Twinkletoes Astaire, a guy who perhaps stole some of my dance moves, even though he did them first. It's a whole time travel thing. I don't really want to get into it right now. I'm over it. But nevertheless, that's them. Spring, 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 written by Johnny Mercer and Gene DePaul. Who are they, you're saying? Well, they were in the 40s and 50s, so I wouldn't expect you to know them. Mercer was a lyricist, and DePaul was a songwriter. And what did he write? What else would that you'd know? I'll remember April. Irresistible You, he did that one. That was a pretty big one. I'm sure you know that. He scored a lot of things for films, like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers in the Navy. And the two of them wrote a musical together, a Broadway show called Lil Abner. The original Lil, as in like not little, but Lil. I have a lot of problems with that. I don't know if you know that. It's hard for me to say Lil or Gangsta. I can't. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. Like some people, like if I say my name, Ramos, some people can't say that either. Their tongues just don't move that way. So for me, it's like Lil. I feel like I always make a face to the side, like a head tilt, like Lil. You know, it just feels like I'm being like, what? That's my facial expression, like as I say it. So I try not to do it. But you can't see my face, so I guess I'd go with it. Plus, it's the actual title of something. Like, I wouldn't call Lil Wayne Little Wayne just because I have these weird eccentricities or preferences. I wouldn't be like, listen, I'm calling you Little Wayne, and that's the end of it. Just like I wouldn't expect, as the joke goes, people in Canada or Britain to call Jay-Z Jay-Z. Yeah, it's Jay-Z. You make the appropriate changes to fit in to society. I do it all the time, trust me. Anyway, this is episode number 27 of Art House Radio, and I would love to thank you for listening, for downloading this, or pushing play, or whatever you're doing. It means so much. I'll try not to disappoint you, but disappointing people, it's kind of my thing, just so you know. I don't know if I like it, but I'm just really good at it. You know, I've been doing it for so long, for decades. It's kind of like a skill set. You really got to work hard at it. And I don't know, maybe I should put it on my resume. My CV should have right at the top, like excellent at disappointing people. I think it stands out. If they're going to take notice of it, I guarantee you they would take notice of it. The opening of this episode was a quote by Bruce Lee. I almost said my friend Bruce Lee, but that's not true. Why am I lying to myself in my head? I don't know. Bruce Lee, yeah, I give a quote at the end of this discussion, at the end of this episode, about Bruce Lee, because it felt fitting. We were talking about water. It just came up naturally. Water. And I mentioned this quote about being water, about becoming water, because it's so fluid and it can penetrate all kinds of surfaces. And, you know, it's just, it's almost like the inevitable, like the sea. If you ever stand at one of the Great Lakes or an ocean or a sea, it's just like, you just feel so small and it's so vast. And it just, you almost just kind of want it to swallow you up in a romantic way. But then as it's doing it, you like start yelling like, no, this is terrible. That's probably just me. I promise I'm fun to go to the beach with. I don't do that. I'm not like a goth beach bum. Anyway, yeah, so this episode, I'm speaking with Santos Ramos and Angelica de Jesus. Three people in a car driving places. And we talk about lots of fun things. We talk about music. Angelica fell asleep for a while. That's okay. That happens. And what other podcast show do they allow a guest to take a nap? I challenge you to find anywhere in the history of podcasting or shows or TV, anything, film, whatever. Nobody ever lets one of the stars take a nap. And that's why I think sets this show apart. And I really think we're onto something. It's a unique show. I think that's an indication of that uniqueness. And, you know, you're just going to have to listen to find out what happens. And we talk about music and cops, the police, not the band, but like donuts, coffee, that thing. Cops who are, you know, I know most of them are wonderful and they've got a very tough job. And sometimes you see stuff where they do things and you're like, oh, gross. I don't like that. So we talk about it all. We're just keeping it real. And then we talk about water and things like that. So it's going to be a great episode. And I don't forget, please don't forget to go to my website, troymeetsworld.com, and you know, just drop me a line. Go to Facebook, ArtHouse43, at Spanish Peanuts on Twitter, or at ArtHouse43. I don't remember what I just said there. Did I say something offensive? I don't think I did. I don't know. Yeah, you can do that. Would you like to know a fun fact before we get into it? Here's a fun fact from the San Diego Zoo's website. Bees. Did you know there are more than 4,000 species of native bees in the USA? Did you know that? Native bees are those that have always lived in the area and are able to survive without help from humans. Take that, humans. We don't need you. These bees don't make honey or beeswax that we can use, but they do pollinate many of our plants and food crops. They do this so much that they are called super pollinators. Fun fact, right? Another fun fact, Burt's Bees is a company that makes lip balm and other things from unused wax from beehives. Just so there's no confusion here. Different kind of bees, Burt's. They make wonderful lip balm, and it's made from stuff and you put it on your lips as you normally do with lip balm, and it feels pretty wonderful. I've used it a few times maybe, but I've never bought anything. So, you know, I just like to grab a bee by the neck and then just rub it on my lips. They don't really like that, but it makes me feel really like, you know, gets the adrenaline pumping, especially if they lay one into me, you know, a stinger. Ugh, it's really wakes you up. It's like, you've ever like sniff smelling salts and put them in your nose and like, woo, it's a thing, man. It really is. Anyway, yeah, Burt's Bees. You know, Burt's Bees, why don't you just be a sponsor, Burt's Bees? Go to burtsbees.com and check it out and buy some of their stuff. And if they happen to hear this and they think, hey, I like this young man with his bee jokes and his voice like honey. Get it? We're going to be a sponsor. please come on. Burt's Bees, burtsbees.com. I'm just going to go ahead and do that. Why am I talking about bees on an art show? It's just a fun fact. Why don't you just relax? What are you, like the podcast police? I was thinking in my head before I hit record that it would be an interesting performance art piece to let people go into a room and it's all quiet and there's nothing in there. And then like a door opens or a window on the side of the wall and just like a bunch of bees go in. Like that's the piece. And the people are just running and screaming. And then I videotape it and then play that live feed down into the lobby of the art gallery. I kind of like the sound of this. I got to tell you, sounds not lawsuit worthy at all. So let's get into the episode as we think about that. Santos Ramos and Angelica de Jesus as we roll down the road and chit chat. The most important question. Santos, what are you listening to right now? I mean, in life, not this moment. I mean, what music do you have at your ready on a daily basis recently?
Oh, God. Honestly, my playlist for when I'm working is pretty horrible. I'm embarrassed of it. And I realized, because I started using Spotify just in the last 6 months, and I didn't realize that I guess this is the case that it's like public. People can see what you're listening to until you make it private.
Well, if you connect it to your Facebook account, then they show it up on Facebook as well.
Yeah, I could just post, or people could have apparently just looked at my profile and seen all the horrible shit I was listening to.
All your Debbie Gibson and your Tiffany and your Goonies soundtrack selections at 2 in the morning.
I do have Cyndi Lauper on there, but I'm not embarrassed of that one.
No, she's great. She's great. Great voice.
Yeah. Well, and how about this? Because, there's stuff I've been listening to. Like, there's a rapper named Logic that I've been listening to. I've been listening to some Jarocho music from Mexico. But
I wonder if anybody's ever thought about starting a rap group to one-up him called Logic Pro. It's a little Apple joke.
Logic Pro 10. Yeah. But I also, I incorporate music quite a bit into my classroom that I teach. I teach college writing classes. And so I've been playing, lately I've been playing Steve Reich for people. Music for 18 musicians. I don't know if you've heard that one.
Oh, I love that one. I used to play that when I was a barista. I'd play it in the coffee shop. And it was one of those pieces that everybody would come up and say, what is this? It, like, they're interested. Is that the same reaction that you get? People love it?
Well, I teach at 8 in the morning right now, so people are pretty much zoned out. But that's why I picked that piece, though, is because it's so early. I don't want to... Sometimes if I'm trying to, like, get them energized, I'll play something different. But if it's, like, down writing time, trying to ease into something, like... I mean, it's so, that's the kind of music that I love to work to when I'm writing, when I'm doing intellectual work, because it's repetitive, but it's not. Like, it remains interesting. It's familiar. I wouldn't say it's repetitive. It's familiar. Like, it's very cohesive throughout, so it's good for, like, intellectual work. But if I'm cleaning or doing something more physical, then, yeah, listen to, like, more pop or, like, hip-hop or something like that.
Yeah, there's an interesting quality to Steve Reich because it does sound like something that almost encourages or invites your brain to be creative. Even though you're listening to something creative, it sort of like opens up that door where I think I can read all these articles I've been meaning to, or I can do housework or whatever. It's thoughtful, but it also doesn't lecture to you.
It's weird that, I think it's really about associations, because I think we could, a different person could say that about anything, right? But I think you can also, like, change your associations throughout your life. Like, I had this weird phase where I was, like, trying to write this essay over the last summer, and I had this playlist of, like, REM and Audioslave, which is, like, all their most popular songs, too, not even, like... you know, cool ones that whatever other people don't know about. It's just like, yeah. So like then I got attached to those songs. Like I needed to be listening to them in order to get work with done on that particular essay. And if I was working on other things, I would want to listen to something different. But like, I felt like I needed at least to start there.
Yeah. So I do that too. Spotify is a good thing. It's kind of like YouTube, but it's a good thing for music that you can indulge in things that you wouldn't want to search for that much. Like I was listening to Disney songs on there the other day. I wouldn't normally go through a YouTube search to watch the video and stuff like that. I just want to hear, like, I was listening to Robin Hood. Great soundtrack.
I don't know.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest, hopping fences, dodging trees, trying to get away. If Brian was here, and he's listening to this right now, I'm sure he would be able to finish that line. Oodle-lally.
Singing the Care Bears theme song. I don't even know if that... What is the Care Bears theme song, by the way?
Oh, I know this.
Care Bears countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's that coming from somewhere up in the sky? Moving fast. Bright as a firefly. Just when you think that trouble's gonna pounce, who's gonna be there when it really counts? Do the Care Bears countdown and send a wish out through the air. Just send a wish out in the dark and do that Care Bears countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Is it just like...
It does. Everything had... Back then, everything had a theme song, you know? And like, Different Strokes, The Snorks, even the wrestling show. It was like a cartoon version of WWF wrestlers, like Hulk Hogan and all that. That had a theme song, I think. I can't remember the Care Bears one. I don't know.
We should do like a top 10 80s and 90s cartoon theme show, Art House Radio podcast episode, where people vote their top ones and then we play them and we talk about them.
Well, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah, let's look for that for an episode 28. There's my theme for episode 28. Theme songs. What do you remember? And then we can have everybody vote. And that's... Actually, let's not do that. It could be terrible. It's interesting to me, but I don't know... Theme songs definitely still exist for shows, but it used to be such a big thing to have, like, a singer and, like, words. But now it just kind of, like, gets you to the show. People don't want to spend a lot of time on the theme song. Maybe. Although, like, Louie, for example, that's a great theme song, but that song already existed. Yeah, it's one word, yeah. But I guess it's also... It already existed. It wasn't written specifically for the show. Like,
yeah. Like, I can't think of one, like a recent show that I've been watching that has a theme song with words. Like,
right.
They're really short and they're often, just wordless.
How do you think the musical tastes you have changed as you've gotten older?
I think, and when I was like a late teen, I became snobby about music because I started to learn more about it. And I became really elitist about it. And now, like, over the last, throughout my 20s, I gradually, like, sort of got away from that into, like, just being able to appreciate different shit. Like, I hated pop music for a long time. I hate certain pop songs. And I hate certain things about how music is industrialized. But, like, I mean, I feel like I can enjoy a wider range of shit now, as opposed to, like, for some reason I also used to hate rock, like anything with distortion. I don't know.
Yeah, I have noticed that in the last few years. If we're making the drive on the road or something, I see you hang on to a little classic rock or adult contemporary a little bit.
Adult,
like maybe 80s music, or not necessarily classic rock, but you paused on AC/DC there for a while.
Yeah, I was trying to hear what it was, but yeah, like certain things I just wouldn't have been able to appreciate, or like I took music so seriously, like it was so important to me that like it had to be a certain way. But now it's more like music is so, it's like so pervasive that it fills not just one need, but like it can fit into different situations. I can sit there and just be listening to music, or it can help me to, do my work, or, facilitate whatever social settings or what the fuck ever.
And plus there's always the element that you're not aware of that changes you, like who the people are on the other side of that experience. Like you're listening to stuff in CDs or on Spotify, and it sort of feels one directional, but if you look the other way through it, there are all these people on the other side of it. For example, One Direction pun, yes. For example, since we're talking about AC/DC, I remember last summer we were sitting in Battle Creek and we watched a documentary on AC/DC, and what we were seeing in the interviews with those guys, your perception of AC/DC changed from something that you didn't know and you didn't like, and it started to open you up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know, and this gets kind of to the industrialization of music that I just mentioned too, because like I didn't know anything about AC/DC growing up. All I knew was the shitty songs I heard on the radio and associating those shitty songs with the shitty people I knew who listened to them.
Like just a bunch of greaseballs, like shotgunning beers.
I don't even know, greaseballs, just like, yeah, like weird, like racist, homophobic people I used to know who loved them, but like didn't actually know anything about it. I didn't know anything about AC/DC, and they probably didn't either.
So it was guilt by association.
Yeah, pretty much. And same thing with like Rage Against the Machine. Sometimes you'll run into somebody who just like loves rock or something, and they love Rage Against the Machine, and they're like conservative, and I'm just like, do you know anything? Do you listen to the lyrics at all? Like, they're against everything that you stand for.
Yeah, but to them, the Machine is poor people. They just want to crush them.
Songs about killing poor people, right?
Yeah, to them, it's just about like, being nice, and that's what they're raging against. Everybody's raging against something. It's just not the same thing.
Yeah, so my perception of AC/DC changed a little bit because I didn't know, I mean, I still don't know that much about them, but I mean, seeing them in their early days and seeing how they incorporated bagpipes and like were political in different ways and in their own way, yeah, I'm able to appreciate them now because it, yeah, again, I changed my association from associating them with particular people who I knew who liked them to just learning more about them as a band.
Yeah, and I think you could say like Guns N' Roses had some really questionable lyrics early in their days, but AC/DC in particular never. I don't. Their whole shtick is just like they just are so energetic, and their whole idea I think is just about having a good time. It isn't. I mean, sure, it gets political sometimes, but I think they're just a party band from the 80s and like Van Halen, and those bands don't really exist anymore. Nobody, it seems like everybody's so serious now, whereas in the 80s or the 70s with AC/DC, Van Halen, other bands, it was just about having a good time. They just wanted to let their hair down and relax.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can still find that in different ways now, but...
like pop songs.
Yeah, and pop songs, maybe... I think like band, like are bands like that in general as popular as they used to be?
I mean that it's, I would assume so, but like that format seems to always have different elements added onto it. Like in the 90s, it was popular to have a horn section in your band. And in the 80s, it was cool to have a synthesizer. And who knows what now, maybe they're bringing different things into it. It always seems to be that basic structure though of like, bass guitar, drums, and maybe a keyboard.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, I don't know if like, or maybe like I wonder because like we talk about Selena a lot and like how there hasn't been another Selena, like a really, there've been popular like Mexican singers, but not like legendary status like that. So I wonder like how much that's the result of like. The landscape of music changing and social media changing to like less focus being on like one or two people to being spread out. Like obviously there's still stars and shit, but like, yeah, if it's spread out a little bit more now.
Well, I mean, in this, it's technology. I mean, everybody's a star now. You can put up, you can, a lot of, there's probably a lot of computer music. There's probably a lot more electronic dance music than there used to be. So EDM is probably much popular now, or things like it than it was in the 90s or 80s because everybody can produce their own album.
This cop just in front of me. We're driving right now. I don't know if you pointed that out, but there's a cop just in front of me. Turned on his lights for about 10 seconds and then turned them off.
State trooper?
I don't know.
Well, we seem to be okay. No police involved. I used to watch these videos of know your rights when you get pulled over. And I always tell myself I'm gonna buy a book that tells me what I can tell an officer. And I never do, but it's really kind of important because it can fuck your whole life if you don't know that game. If you don't know what you can say. I'll give you an example. A lot of these videos that I was watching were marijuana related. And so they would say a technique you can do is to tell the officer after you have a conversation, like, I don't want to be here anymore. Am I free to go? And that puts the officer in a position of saying, I have to decide right now if I'm going to keep this guy under suspicion or charge him. And if I don't, I'm detaining him illegally. So those kinds of little tricks I've always wanted to get into, but for some reason I never do. I don't know if that interests, if you ever had an interest in that, like knowing your rights.
No, I don't want to know my rights. I think it depends on the situation. We talk a lot about this, like, in activism. So I think it depends on your context. Like, if I got pulled over, I wouldn't be like, as soon as he walks up, be like, am I being detained or can I go?
Right.
You know, but if you're doing something, like, or you're being questioned in a different kind of context, it makes more sense to... Because it's a little bit... Technically, you can do that, but it's also a little bit confrontational. Yeah. So you just got to make that call as somebody who's being... approached by a cop, I guess.
Well, I remember reading one book, and at the beginning of it said, let's just throw this on the table. They can do whatever they want to you. So you want to be respectful, and you want to almost sort of like sweeten them into letting you go or being cooperative. But there are questions that arise, like if you get pulled over and they say, I want to search your car, could you step out? There are things you can say to say, no, I don't, for this reason, I'm not comfortable with that. And you can sort of back them into like a legal corner, and then it becomes like a chess match. But even as much as we read, I don't really know what to say.
Well, it's weird because it changes too, right? Like depending on where you are, you're in different, like local, state police, states have different laws, and there's federal laws. So there's different nuances everywhere you go. So yeah, I don't really know too much about that either.
And I'm sure I would presume they know a lot, but I bet you they're not trained. Like it's almost like cops should be lawyers in some sort of way. I mean, they should know the Constitution and the local and state laws, but you know that they don't.
Yeah, cops are lawyers without the training and with guns. So, yeah, that's the other piece of it, is like they also do interpret the law as lawyers do, but it's also their main job is to enforce it. But within that, there's always an interpretation, right? Because like it's always subjective.
And they have a tough job. I'm not saying they don't, because you'd have to know the law so well, because it's almost like you're performing it at that moment, because it's changing. You're interacting with someone who, as he's pulling out a gun, you can't just sit there and go, ordinance number 74.3 says I can raise my gun. Like, no, you're dead. You know, you have to, in that extreme example, you have to be able to react if someone starts to get irate, or they look for signs of you touching your face as being like not telling the truth. All these little things that they get taught, it's not just law, and you have to kind of react quickly to it.
Yeah, and I mean, really, as enforcers of the law, that's what they do. They enforce the order through any means necessary. So if what they're forcing is a system, if the system just behind them, whether it's their fault or not, is messed up, right, it's their job to enforce it. So whatever they're enforcing is going to be the, you know, reflect whatever kind of system is behind them.
It's sort of like how I know people who have pot plants, not me, but I know people who have them, and they could come in and bust you and really fuck you up in terms of the law. But we're getting to a point where they don't, because it's kind of a waste of time, because everybody has it. And I've thought about growing plants before, and I want to wait till it's legal or till I get a proper certification to be a grower or something. But it's almost the responsibility of the cops to say, listen, this is, as collectively, like we can't arrest people for marijuana anymore, like meth or coke maybe, you know. But it's almost like they have to, they're not supposed to do that though. They're put in a tough position, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people seem to think like they have no influence over, or they don't have a decision to like act differently than they're told to act, than the way that they're commanded. I mean, cops could say no to some of that stuff if they wanted to. Like, it sucks because they actually have quotas to do certain things. Like, people in the immigrant rights movement talk about this, because ICE, or the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they have quotas for how many people they have to arrest and detain and deport. So regardless of what those people are like, there's a certain number that they got to go out and, you know, regardless of their situation, if they have families or whatever, they have to go do that, according to the law anyway. I mean, some of them could be saying no, but
that's a presumption that criminals will exist in a certain number of acts each day, and you almost are encouraging that to happen because you're looking for it. So you've got a policy in place where you got to reach a certain quota, and you're almost looking for it. And there could be people on the fence who maybe they were going 72 and a 70, and like you're going to give them a ticket because you got to hit your quota and you don't want to lose your job, or you don't want to get a demotion or whatever. I don't know how it works, but something like that.
Yeah, isn't having a quota in terms of like arrests or tickets or whatever, an admission of some sort of fault within the system? And, like, how is that? Obviously, it's not helping.
You would think so. And what happens if everybody participated in an experiment where we all said, we're not going to commit a crime for a month. Can everybody just fucking hold off on the murders? There's some guy with a knife. He's like, oh, I really want to stab somebody, but I'm going to wait. And you held off on it. And then what would they do? If no crimes were being committed for a month or a year, they couldn't arrest anybody. And everybody had like a GoPro on them or a Periscope or some sort of camera. What would they do?
I mean, I think that this briefly actually happened, like, not an intentional experiment, but after those officers in New York got killed like a year or two ago, the NYPD did some, or like maybe it was a particular station or something, that like kind of refused to work, or like they were like holding off on doing shit. And then, like, I don't know, there were reports of like not only the crime going down because obviously they weren't arresting people anymore, but just like, I don't know, something with the laws of, like, there was less robberies or violent occurrences during that time when cops weren't bothering people.
Well, it's a strange thing to have a quota. I mean, I don't know who came up with that idea, or, you know, you have to find a... If that's what we're going to pay taxes for, to have a certain number of police and fund their activities or be able to respond to 911 calls, it seems like it should be based on need, not on projections.
Well, it's the same problem. Like, we talk about this all the time in terms of with our roads in Michigan, because the winters just tear our roads up, and then the roads tear our cars up. And so we keep putting money into, like, just patching them up instead of, like, fixing the larger problem, which you could say is, like, the way the roads are built, or you could say that why is it that we have to drive cars instead of taking more efficient and communal forms of transportation? But it's kind of like that with the other laws as well. Like, we're just going after these symptoms instead of, you know, we're just trying to fill these quotas to try and scare people into doing this shit instead of fixing structural problems that cause people to put themselves in these dangerous situations.
Yeah, nobody wants to go after the heart of the problem, the structure of it. They just want to, it's easier just to patch things up because you've got a golf outing at 5 and you got to get there and you got to sign this bill, and it's you don't want to have another meeting about it, or it seems too difficult to overcome, when really it's, if you just fix it right the first time, it's, and you go to the structure of it, then it probably, it's going to be better for everybody in the long run. We have a third guest. How about that? She is awake
now
from
arriving.
Her nap. Now arriving. She, like Nosferatu, she just rose with her arms crossed on her chest, and she is here. In one word, how about America? How would you describe America in one word? You heard it here. America is a weird groan / sigh. Santos, America, one word. Again, words, speechless is what this car is when it comes to America. What about Michigan? How would we describe Michigan?
One word.
Is this a fair question? How could you describe a place in one word, really?
I got my word. Okay.
Water.
Water. That's a good one.
Which I wonder if you did this, if you asked people this question around the country, not from Michigan or not from this area, if they would say that, or if they would associate water with Michigan at all. I don't know that people do, even though, you know, we're surrounded by the largest source of fresh water in the entire world. We have more shoreline than, I don't know the statistics on this, but we have a way more shoreline than people realize, being, I mean, we're peninsulas. We're two peninsulas, right, is what we are.
Yeah, I believe we have more shoreline than from Maine to Florida. I think it's 3,000 plus miles, or 2,000, whatever trumps Maine to Florida. You know, people didn't know that it was shaped like a hand when I lived in Oregon. I mean, people, you go around the country and they're like, where is it? What is it? Like they think it's like Oklahoma or something. Which, to be fair, if you get into those square-shaped states like Colorado or Nebraska or Oklahoma, I couldn't really put a map together either. I know Virginia, which is where you're from,
or where
sort of.
Yes.
You're from all 50 states. Tell us how that went.
So I'm from. I've lived in several different states, and that's why why I view Michigan as sort of this really interesting mix of the different states that I've lived in. It is like a heartland. It is, I think that's the word that I might use. But I love what Santa said about water, because when you ask the first question about how would I describe America, I think of like nature. I think of indigenous land. I think that it's not just ours. It's like this ecosystem that is going to be hopefully here for generations longer. So I like that Santos drew to the water, like something that's sort of outside of just what, that doesn't really like fit the lines that we draw, the borders that we draw, that doesn't necessarily fit like all those sorts of things.
Like whether Michigan was a thing or not, the water would still be there.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of how I see the states, and as someone who's lived in so many different states, I just see it as beyond just America. Like, America doesn't really fit the United States.
Yeah, and like it's the word. Yeah, and sometimes if I ask that question, or if somebody asks me that question, I for some reason want to go negative. Like I was expecting both of you guys to say something negative. Like, give me America in one word, and you to go crumbling, decadent.
And they have us.
Yeah, but it's a weird state of mind shift to think like water takes it to. Not just literally what it, a huge element of it, but also it seems like a positive thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and water is movement, right? Well, maybe not the lakes. Wait, I don't know how much.
Oh, no, yeah.
Right?
It's a positive thing, water.
Yeah, of course it's movement. That's why, like, Lake Erie is a lot of public jokes and all that, like, happening about the pollution in Lake Erie a while ago, but...
About how Ohioans killed Lake Erie, that story.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Ohio. Kind of.
But it actually regenerated. I mean, I read this somewhere, so I don't fucking know. But, like, what I read was that it actually was able to regenerate somewhat quickly because it's kind of shallow. So, I mean, they do move. Like, mm-hmm. Of course they move, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to hear you say that we were thinking that we were going to say something negative. I feel like as organizers, people often... accuse me of hating America, and that's why, like, that I, you know, I'm angry about certain things, or that I must not want to live here. It's like, well, I mean, I do live here.
I would have expected anybody to answer that, like, even myself.
Oh. Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, I wasn't saying you two specifically, like, let me ask these two negative people what they think of things.
Well, then I guess my mind just went to, like, just how I think one of the reasons why my mind goes there is because I do have hope that we are, like, there is a lot of stuff that's happening that is really horrible, but I've been surrounded by people who also share, like, this hope for the future, this imagination, this vision for change that, like, think has us thinking differently about how we relate to the land and relate to the future.
It's a hard thing to do if you're passionate about something, you care about something, and you, like, if you're a big environmentalist and you get upset about the dumping of trash and sewage into the waters, or the nuclear power plant in Michigan City that might pollute stuff and bring it up to Michigan, Chicago's waste or whatever. To be able to think about that during the day and then go to the beach, a beautiful part of it, and enjoy it at night, it's really hard to turn off. Sometimes.
It's important to do that, though.
Yeah. It's. I mean, maybe it's just me that has a hard time with it, but sometimes you look at it from a certain perspective, you're looking at the same... You look at the water and you think, I'm fighting for it in this part of the day, and then another day I'm just, like, taking it in as, like, how great it is, without thinking about all the negative things.
How does it feel to do that? Like, did you?
When I'm successful, I'll let you know. I haven't been able to do it yet.
But it's I think that's healthy to juggle those two. So I was napping while the previous conversation went on.
You had a dream that a terrible podcast was taking place near you, that you had somehow fallen asleep to your iPod.
And then you woke up into another dimension in which you were actually in that podcast.
Sorry, I love this.
What does it feel like to wake up in the middle of a podcast?
Yeah, that is, it feels normal somehow. It somehow feels like a normal part of my life. I don't know. I'm grateful to be around a lot of artists. I feel like this is normal for me. thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I like doing this. It seems like Santos and I have done this several times now. And sometimes when you're on the road, it's, why not? Because you listen to the radio and it's fun and everything has its place. Thought, if you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. But right now, why not just get out a microphone and record your thoughts, and hopefully you'll stumble across something interesting, especially if you have three very, very intelligent people. The brain power here in here is powering this car alone, I think, somehow.
It is a hybrid.
That's why it's a hybrid. It's a hybrid, right? It runs on thought. That's the future of automotive or energy. But that gets into like Tesla and stuff, which I don't really know much about. But didn't Tesla think that you could pull energy from nothing? Like, he didn't need to be a substance that you could... There was energy that existed. Nikola Tesla, maybe. I think.
Well, what was, like, the fourth... Is it, like, the fourth law of physics? Or that's, like, energy can either be created or destroyed. Does that somehow tie into, like...
It could be.
That his theories of energy, that it must be around us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's something like that where... I'm going to have to research this, but it's something like that where he thought you didn't need... like oil or gas or electricity, like you could find a way to tap into energy that was already existing around us.
I think that's almost like witchcraft.
Kind of like witchcraft, but...
I'm down with a Tesla witchcraft.
I'm just down with the witchcraft too, but the could be a conspiracy, but the idea was that you can't make money off of that if you're an oil company, so...
Interesante.
All right, with that... That was pretty good. It was a long time. All right, so that was episode 27 of Art House Radio. Thank you, Santos. Thank you, Angelica. And since we were talking about water, I'll leave you with my favorite Bruce Lee quote where he said, "Be water, my friends." Well, I do hope you've enjoyed yourself. Art House Radio is brought to you by people like Burt's Bees, maybe, potentially. Yeah. And people who go to our websites and they click on donate and then they make some sort of a donation because they don't want to be freeloaders. Don't be a freegan.
an audio freegan. All right. Arthouse43.com, TroyMeetsWorld.com. You really should go to TroyMeetsWorld.com just for other things too. I have a lot of music up and I think you would like it. It's very ambient, very smooth, very mellow. It gets you in that ambient mood, man. Yeah. So yeah, creative projects are never free. Any support you could give would be greatly appreciated. I am Troy Ramos, and I stand by that. And it's a fact, actually. It's science. So if you don't believe me, you can request a birth certificate. And if you want to be a birther and you want to go that route, we can do it, man. I'll make you a copy. I'll just blurt out in pen form that you can't see these sensitive bits of information on there, but my name would be on there and all that. You know what? Don't write me. I'm not going to send you my birth certificate. But I would like you to write me about, remember the classical music experience? Well, I said before that I was looking for it to be your first classical music experience, whether you loved it or hated it. But just make it anyone. You know, go right now and listen to anything from Steve Reich to Mozart. And just pick it. Just go with it. And then just drop me a line, like a couple of sentences. Tell me. And I'll read it on the air. And then I will just bash it and pick it apart like a musical snob. I'm not going to do that. You should write to me. And you should write to me anyway and tell me all your thoughts. I've already given you all the things. You can go to my website. You'll find it everywhere. It's on if you're doing this on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio, you'll find it. So just write to me. I hope you have a wonderful day. Spring is in the air. Go back and listen to that Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire classic, Spring, Spring, Spring. Go listen to it on your own and just get into it. Just start planting things. Do you know it's time to plant things very soon? Don't miss out. You could be dead by the end of the summer, and then you'll be dying thinking, I wish I had planted flowers and my own food. And then you're dead, and you didn't do it. So don't regret things. Just go for it, all right? Love each other, be nice to each other, and go for it. Until next time, my friends.